Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. When you face a decision point in life, how do you know you've made the right choice? What if you discover you'd already made a dire mistake, but it didn't seem like a big deal at the time? Today, we launch our series entitled Fix Your Faith, with a journey back in life to the point where we surveyed the kingdoms of the world and picked a life to strive after. Without realizing it, many of our lives got derailed and we didn't even know it. Join me now as we go back to that place where we think we are totally alone and examine that person who wants to make a name for themselves. Hello, everybody. Yes, thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do in the world just like you. So glad that you are here. Welcome to 2025. This is an exciting time of the year. It's a do-over. It's a place to get started, and that is going to be the focus for our new series. So we're going to launch a series today. As I said in the introduction, it's called Fix Your Faith. And just right now, if you say, I don't need that, my faith is fine, I'm solid, I'm good, I don't have a faith, I don't need a faith, I got me, I got my plan, I just hired a life coach. Hold on. I need you to just take a breath and regain this conversation. I'm going to offer something in this series that I truly think will help you, okay? So let's unpack it. We're going to go to the depth dimension, as I like to say. And why? Well, because that is where real change takes place. And many of you right now, 2025, this is the year, right? This is the year you shed that pudgy weight that has been causing you to shame yourself in the mirror. This is that time you make the healthy choice to finally get back where you know you need to be. This is the year you get that new job that gets you out of your daily hell that you suffer through every day. This is the year where you meet that someone special and you learn how to love and be loved, right? This is the year, right? This is the time. Well, look, life's just going to happen. But can I just say right now, everybody is turning to life coaches, they're seeing therapists, they're making resolutions. That's fine. But listen, if you don't get to the deep part, nothing changes. And so I'm going to take you right there today. This is podcast number 474. It's part one in our series called Fix Your Faith. And I entitled it Meet Satan. Okay, so no, I'm not trying to be cheeky or cute. I am not trying to have clickbait. I truly want you to meet Satan. I want you to see the kingdoms of this world for what they are. And look, like I alluded to in the introduction, temporary change can be purchased by life coaches and gurus and therapists, okay? You can go out and you can give your money away to some whiz-bang guy or girl, and they're going to sell you a multi-$1,000 program, invite you to an expensive hotel weekend, and they're going to pump up your emotions. And at the end of it, you're not that different. Nothing's really changed. Except for you, now you're more poor, you're more in debt. Even though you told yourself it was an investment in yourself, you went backward. And if you really want permanent transformation, if you really want lasting change, a superficial life hack isn't going to cut it. You're not going to get it from scrolling on Instagram. There's not going to be somebody who has this thing. Your book won't happen by paying somebody. You're not going to get all the accolades and all that stuff. Like, if you do that, you are ruining your life. I'm trying to help you. And I know they say they're helping you. After today's podcast, you will question whether that's true. 75% of New Year's resolutions fail by March. Not because of willpower. It's not like you lacked willpower. That's just a symptom of the problem. It's not that your focus waned. That's also a symptom. Yes, life got in the way, and you obviously, you can't just keep going to the gym every day, not when work starts getting busy. But all this stuff happens, and life crowds back out, and you become the person you didn't want to become because we have not changed in the depth dimension. We don't truly know who we are. Now, I've got a book called Getting Better When You Can't. Call me, write me, email me. I'll give you a free copy. It will help you kind of unpack some of this stuff. It'll save you thousands of dollars. It's entirely for free. Changing your behavior is superficial. That is not the goal. If that's your goal, you are undergoaled. It will always be short-lived. Changing behavior is always short-lived. That's the blossom on the plant. It's like trying to change an apple tree by changing the apple, or the strawberries don't look so good. I'm going to pick a strawberry and I'm going to change something on the strawberry. Like, that doesn't do it. If you energize your emotions, which a lot of these gurus say, that's what you got to do every day. You got to stimulate that emotion, use music, use whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that gets you a little further. But our affections dissipate like a tire with a slow leak. So you're going to be constantly pumping yourself up. And is that your new life strategy? And then one day, our ability to get jazzed up the way we did before, that same song just doesn't do it anymore. And progress stops. The depth dimension includes our intellect, of course, which is the antecedent to the affections. And prior to that is our grasp of truth, which functionally includes our faith. And so, like, if you don't fix your faith, if you don't fix yourself at the depth dimension, at what you truly believe, everything is going to be a superficial life hack that you often spend money for, thinking it's going to help you, and then you're going to be right back. And this series is going to help us with where change actually begins. Back at the headwaters of our life, within our identity. Everything in this podcast, I always talk about ontology. Not oncology, but ontology. That's your sense of being. That's your true self, your identity, who you really are. And no, it's not your appetite. It's not your sexual orientation. All those things may be in part of it, but it is not it. I'm going to show you that today. But you need the desert to find the depth dimension. You need isolation. And that doesn't mean you have to leave the city. You can be isolated and in a desert of quiet and stillness on a busy, crowded subway, hopefully a safe subway. But you need this. You need a desert of isolation. That's where your identity will be tested. Well, actually, your identity has already been tested. If you're old enough to be sitting here on this podcast and have half a brain to understand what I'm talking about, I assure you, your identity has already been tested in the desert. And this is just how it was for Jesus. We see this in the Gospels, that after his baptism, he goes right into the desert. Nobody skips this step. And before we enter our adult life, we were offered a world with 1,000 kingdoms. And as we surveyed them, The question was, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do with your life? Yeah, we surveyed the kingdoms. We weighed the pros and cons. Well, how much effort is that going to take? What's the level of difficulty? How much fun can I have doing that job? Or am I going to be stuck in a cubicle somewhere? How much time until I get what I want? Like how much time until I get enough money to buy a new car and have that nice apartment and go out to eat and go on vacations, which is what I really want, is not working. And then we just picked our taskmaster. Maybe you're like, all that sounds too hard. I'm just going to do whatever right now. But you picked a taskmaster. You picked a master, a cruel master. And we sought out institutional powers that would confer on us legitimacy. Oh, you know what? If I get that degree from Stanford, then I'll be a better doctor than I would if it was from Podunk Med School. I'm going to have validation because that's where all the big names, they all went to Harvard. They all went to Pepperdine, whatever it is. Like, you're going to find that validation. Oh, no, you need this degree. You need that job. This is the one that really gives you the kingdom. This is the one that solves that problem of worthiness in you, right? Where you're going to outdo all your parents. This is the one where you're going to fix all of the pain of your childhood right here with your effort and your output and your diligence. And you're going to get that name. You're going to get the image that isn't your own, but it's the one you hope to get. It's one you're working for. It's one you're striving for. They will give me that gold medal. And now, here you are in life. You've identified yourself as a lawyer, a father, an influencer, an Olympian, a top promoter, a big salesperson, whatever it is, you are a, right? That's ontology, folks. Now, we think of it as a job, we think of it as career, but no, this is way, way deeper. This is way, way deeper. And if you want 2025 to bring change, that's where you got to go. You got to go back to this moment in life when we didn't even know better. Along with our fake ID that this institution gave us. Oh, Kevin, you are now an ordained minister. Oh, you can marry, bury, baptize, and burn people. When you say something, they're going to listen. Listen, folks, we all gaze at the riddle in the mirror. And we identify those surface level things that we all want to change. You know, I'd like to be better. I see that thing in there. Man, I'm in debt. I'm screwed up. I'm fat. I'm unhealthy. I'm broke. I have no real loving relationships. I squander my time all the time. I got to put down the freaking video games. I haven't done anything with my life. Like, you've got all of this stuff and it comes out and you see it in the mirror, but you kind of don't look at yourself. You don't see it. Like, this is an obstructed view. Why? Because it's really the depth dimension trying to burst through into all the surface level stuff. And these dumb little life hacks, these stupid courses that coaches give you and therapists offer you and their little therapies and their whatever. I get it. There are people trying to help in one sense, but these are not taking you to the depth dimension. Identity portal is what you need so that you can perceive that you are missing life. Your problem isn't a debt problem. See, our true self is found in God. And we reject the world system's indelible mark on how we think, which is our forehead, and what we do, which is our right hand. Like, if you want your life back, you've got to go back to the depth dimension and follow the master's steps. This is where we go into the desert behind Christ and learn what he did when he was in the desert too. This is where we fix our faith. This is where we place our faith on the real and lasting foundation. This is how we find our true self. Otherwise, the tattoo of the beast is inevitable. So I always talk about Christ following and I compare it to the folly of religion. And in this series, we're going to literally follow the life of Christ. And each week, the scripture will illuminate what's next for us on our journey to a true life and a true self. My goal is not so much a hermeneutic or a biblical anecdote here. I seek to really bring everybody into this discovery that Christ's life was not just a story in a 2,000-year-old book. It's actually playing out in and as your life and mine. I desire to contextualize Scripture in a way that allows us to get that do-over that we perceive that we really need. Do you need a do-over at this point? Maybe you needed it a long time ago, but you don't feel worthy. You don't feel like you can do it. No, you can. Everybody listening, today is your do-over. And no, I'm not going to invite you into a religion. You don't have to give up your weekends. You don't have to put a chrome fish on your car and listen to crappy music. But that do-over is it's minutes away. Will you come with me and see? Now in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, we see Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. We talked about this. This was all set up in my Advent series in Christmas time. And you hear this voice from heaven. It says, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." See, and if we begin following Jesus' baptism, where this voice from heaven makes this powerful identity statement, our lesson from this is that everything grows out of ontology, our identity, our being, who we are, who we think we are. If you think you are something that you're not, your life will get derailed, I promise. We are not the Son of God, but we are sons and daughters of man. But we are also made in God's image, as it says in Genesis 1:27. 1 John 4:8 says, "God is love, and we are his beloved." We are the beloved. That is our identity statement. See, the kingdoms, the institutional powers of the world system, it doesn't teach us this. When you default into the world, when you grew up in life, the default mode was not that you are the beloved child of God. The default mode was you can maybe be liked by the world, maybe even loved and adored, but you're going to have to do all this stuff and become famous, become powerful, have some money, do whatever. Like, it's a whole different thing. That world system does not want you to know who you truly are. And I am striving so hard to help you see. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." That is God talking to Jeremiah, to his people, to you. Can you hear that? Can you hear God saying to you, "I have loved you with an everlasting love"? Or did that just glance right off your forehead? Do you deflect it with your right hand? You see, we get caught up in this lifestyle design. It's a buzzword for how we can supposedly architect our dream life. But we got to pay the ferryman to take us to the other side. Looking upon all the kingdoms is what got us here. And as you go through life, you make certain choices and certain kingdoms are no longer available to you. As you get older, you don't have time to pursue them. When I'm 55 right now, I can't pursue a gold medal in the long jump. It's physically impossible. Oh, I might be able to do a long jump. I might actually strengthen and gain a better long jump than how I would do it today. But I assure you, I'm not going to become an Olympic contender. I don't have time to go redo another career. I don't have time to go do this thing and that thing. So the choices you make do make a difference. And if you squander your youth, as is the common path today, nobody gets serious until they're 35 or 40, then your options are going to be fewer, and you might find yourself in that place today. You might have realized I paid the ferryman and he didn't take me to the other side. See, we all start with this death in mind. Yeah, that's where we have to start. We have to start with our death in mind. Jesus said anybody who would save his life will lose it. And he also said if it profits nothing to gain the whole world and forfeit yourself. These are powerful words of wisdom. And our true and authentic life is, it's not to be a climb. You're not going to ascend to get, like you're going to, let me put it this way, like I've said before, everything you think you want is a climb and an ascent, but everything you truly want is a descent. See, we die in order to live. And Jesus taught about this kingdom where everything is counterintuitive. If you want to live, you got to die. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you want to give, you're going to have to, if you want to receive, you will have to give, I should say. If you want to be filled, you will have to empty yourself. Like, that doesn't make sense. No. If I want fulfillment, I need to fulfill my, I'm not going to say no to anything my appetite wants. No, you say no in order to be full, truly full. See, the kingdom's very different. The kingdom of God is very different than all of the kingdoms of this world. That's what the temptation is all story is all about. In order to make sure we're committed to Christ's counterintuitive kingdom principles, that we have to follow Jesus into our own wilderness and be tempted by Satan. Then you probably were already there and didn't know it. And if your faith is not tried, if your faith is not tested, your faith cannot be fixed. And if your faith is being tried and tested, congratulations, you are the beloved of God. Luke 4, chapter 1 talks about this time in the desert that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, right after being baptized, he was already out in the wilderness by the Jordan. He went deeper into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. The Spirit leads you to this trial. First thing, this is before his ministry launches. Before your life launches, you will be tried. You will be tempted. You will make a decision about how you think your life should go. If you pick wisely, your life goes well. If you pick foolishly, it's lost. This is the teaching of God's word. It's a gift to us. And so, like, if you want to fix your faith, if you want to have 25 become the best year ever, you're going to have to go to this depth dimension and do some soul searching. And if you don't like this kind of conversation, if it makes you uncomfortable, this is proof you're already under the influence. The three temptations of Jesus are archetypal for us today. This remains God's world. This is not Satan's world, folks. But Satan has been given, as it says, these hexousion, the authority, and the doxa, the glory, to give to whomever he wills. All the kingdoms of the world, the institutional power, is what Satan owns. This is the essence of the world system, the cosmos. And so Satan tempts us with status and power and fame and a pseudonym. You're going to make your name for yourself on your Instagram feed or your TikTok or whoever you are. I don't need a real job. I'm going to be a YouTuber, an influencer. I'm going to make my money online. I'm not going to do some lame 9-to-5 and work for the system. You think you're free. You're not. This is how you satisfy that need for acceptance and validation and relevance. Like everybody is striving so much for relevance and approval. You got daddy issues, whatever it is. See, folks, Christ following, by contrast, is literally the opposite of all of that. We follow Christ into marginalization. You follow Christ to a place where there's no place to lay your head, into decline, into a poverty, into insignificance, and ultimately unto death. This is what it means to bear your cross and to deny yourself. And if you would follow Christ, you will do both of those. Oh, but that doesn't sound nearly as good as becoming famous and then living on the beach and doing 2 hours worth of video vlogs and then getting some kind of monetization for it, Kevin. Like, the Lambo doesn't show up with that scenario, Kev. You will be tested just as I am with these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. One of those is going to get you. Jesus was tempted with hunger. Jesus was tempted with the authority and the glory, just as you are. And the pride of life, of course, Jesus was tempted by proving who he was. And isn't that what it is? Isn't this what life is all about? Making a big name for yourself, going out and becoming that something special so that other people can appreciate you for you? 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from this world, this cosmos, this world system." So how much do you want to know about your true name? Or do you even care? See, the one given in God's book of life at the foundation of the earth, that's the one you really want to know who you are. And like Christ, we face these same temptations. But can we trust Christ enough to say no? You see, we're not fat, we're false. We're not in debt, we're fake. We're not lonely, we're just not real. The delusion has reached the surface, and you're trying to deal with the surface-level thing. It's like trying to put a Band-Aid on cancer, but it goes all the way back to where we sold our birthright like Esau for a bowl of soup. Christ's example is the light of the world. It shows us a path out, and it's not religion. The Christian religion is not your answer. Do not put faith in that. It's not about being converted to something or converted away. You're already converted. This is about just following Christ's example. Put your foot behind his. It was a counter temptation. Every temptation was met with the word of God, true north for navigating the world. And I can tell you, I've tested this throughout my 55 years of life. I started reading the Bible every single day when I was 12 years old, and with the exception of a few months, I have read it every single day of my entire life. And so what would you give for what the world offers? What would you give to get out of your life's hell, your car hell, your relationship hell, your job hell? What would it take to What would you give for that corner office to finally be the one in charge? What would you do to get that fame? For everybody to know you, to know that your art is so good, like to appreciate you and your gifts the way that you do. What would you do for that relevance that you so desperately crave? Like, how do people know? People don't know me. And I need to, and I need a name. I want to be famous. I want to be powerful. I just want to make a living. What is it? What would you sacrifice to get it? You see, the world's gurus, life coaches and therapists and all the iMoms and stuff, they want you to sacrifice your time and your money. Give more. Sacrifice more. You can't be a podium finisher unless... You don't get to be a gold medal winner unless. You don't get to be one of the one percenters unless. unless you do this, let me teach you. This is your right hand. Put it forward. This is how you do it. Or give me your forehead. This is how you should think about it. Folks, the world is much more dark than you perceive. The temptations are real. The decision is lethal. Now, we either cozy up to some institutional power and we become identified by Satan's worldly authority and name. And don't think because you're a fundamental evangelical Christian, you're safe from all this because you believe it's all coming one day in the future. Let me just reframe all that for you. You've already cozied up. Most pastors in most churches are part of what the Bible calls the synagogue of Satan. I know you don't want to hear that, but that is the prophetic message. Most churches are under the exousion, the authority of this world system. They are not under Christ. And so it's just a power play. It's a who has power. It's a name for themselves. And they couldn't step away from it any more than you could step away from Hollywood or your platform because you would lose everything. See, if you and I forsake these pseudonyms that the world would give us, Satan would give us, and we follow in Christ's footsteps, we will face marginalization. Well, who will I be without this? What job will I do? How will I make a living? You will face self-denial, and you will face the need to love others as yourself. It's not beating down and beating out the other to get the spot and being the winner. It's not a win-lose paradigm. It's a lose-win paradigm. It's not a power-over dynamic. It's a subversion. It's a power-under dynamic. See, both require everything of you. Like the institutions of Satan's world are going to require everything of you, as does Christ. But only one is going to make you free and real. The other is a big fake show. And you might even have a sense to that being true. And maybe you don't. And by now in your life, you've probably all discovered that Satan's fictional world does satisfy temporarily. It does deliver. Your church was wrong, but it does. It does deliver, but it quickly hollows us out. It darkens our understanding. Once you kind of give in to that parade of sacrifices, it changes who you are. It changes how you think. This is why the mark is on your right hand and your forehead. It's how you think and what you do. It alters you. And Jesus said, this is a superhighway that leads our life to an ultimate waste. And he says, but I've got something else for you. I got this turnstile over here that you can't even take a backpack through. It's so constricted. And it's this path of cross-bearing and self-denial, but it leads you to true life. Like if you can shed all of that temptation to have it all, then you can actually have it all. Or you can go after the promise of having it all and live under a cruel taskmaster who in the end takes it all. If you fail to see Satan, you can't see his kingdom. And then you're powerless to avoid him. And this is the state of our world. So look closely and meet Satan again. And this time, choose wisely. This is the first stop on how to fix your faith. Go back and meet Satan. Go back and re-look at the institutions of the world. Look at the thousands of kingdoms that are offered to you, and maybe there's fewer now because you're older. But the question should bubble to the surface, how do I fix this? Kev, I think I smell what you're stepping in, and I'm kind of down the road a bit. How do I go back now? Pay attention. Here comes your solution. Be still and know God. Go back to the desert and get really, really quiet. Get really, really hungry. Regain this desert experience. Examine who you are when you think nobody is watching. The moment you realize that you are not alone, that the Spirit of God has been breathing into you life since your birth and continues to do so now. You are completely sustained by the love of God and have been since day one. You've never been alone. And so ask for grace. Ask for mercy. Ask for guidance. Ask to know who you truly are. If something emerges in your mind, something that you think in your mind is a block, but I can't because of this painful thing. But I told myself I would never. I am smart. No, like that is deception bubbling to the surface. If something emerges like that, but I did that bad thing. Face it. Don't block it. Don't do an end around. Don't ignore it. Face it and surrender it. Give it back to God. Ask for healing. Commit to a new start. Just start now. Put it forever behind you. And stay humble. Stay soft. Stay open. Stay sober-minded. And folks, I promise love will come to you. And with love will come a discovery of your true name, the Beloved of God. You are the Beloved of God. That's where you're going to fix your faith, until you fully believe that. Everything in your life will become a series of poor decisions that bring you pain and suffering more and more, and you can't find your way out. This is the plight of the world. But they double down on their self-reliance and their pride, and they blame God for all that is happening, but it is God's love that is bringing this headwind and frustration so that it brings us to our knees. Find yourself again in the depth dimension. I'll leave you with this. Do we really want 2025 to be different? If so, we've got to go to the depth dimension. Otherwise, we are all going to be back next year, skimming over the surface of our superhighway of life, but at the cost of our soul. Let's make sure that doesn't happen. God bless you as you contemplate these things.